Good morning to everyone. Good morning to those that are online. Good morning to those that are here. Wow, that song brings back so many memories. He came and sang that song for us. We got a chance that, when was that? We sang with him, yeah, on that song. He's a very good singer. We went to Pastor Lee Pace's church up in Phoenix. And that's when I first met him. And we asked if we can kind of join in and whatever. And he was very, very amenable to it. This was years ago, though, that we did this. But we got the chance to sing with those guys. So very cool. So many good things that God has done for us, good experiences that we've had for, and I think it was for a very good reason. The things that God allowed us to experience is to show us what things can be and what things that we should not partake of. It's a very good thing. He took us through some experiences. And if you're not careful, you can be pulled off by, what's the term I want to use? Because somebody is working on something, they've become known about something or whatever, you know, for what they do. And you want to join in with that, but not at the sake of leaving the principles of God, you know? So, and I tell people all the time, the way churches, a lot of the, especially the big ones that you have now, man, they all have these fantastic choirs and instrumentalists and stuff. And what that does, that brings people to them, which is good. It's a good thing. The Bible speaks about singing and playing instruments and so forth, you know, in the Psalms. But the intent has to be right. I hear a lot of people say, well, there's a ministry in the church for, you know, singing and playing the piano and all of that. And I guess to a certain extent it must be, but it's not listed under the fivefold ministry. That's not the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is what's going to get us to heaven. The fivefold ministry, you know, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet, the apostle. That's what's going to get us to heaven. In fact, I think Dan mentioned this morning, we're trying to get more into the apostolic doctrine. And people say, well, what is that? Well, it's what the apostles preached. It's what they preached after Jesus left and ascended back on high. And now remember, he said, I've been with you, but now I shall be in you. Now this is when the world receives the word of God. Jesus only really came for the 12. And one of those was a devil, right? So there was a son of perdition. But I want you to think about this. Even that son of perdition had to stay under the ministry of God, didn't it? And to perform what it had to perform. Think about that. There was a reason for all of that. And so, and it already been prophesied how God would come to the place where he would bring himself in flesh and then be sacrificed. For who? For us. All of that was done for you. It's for your sake that all of these things were done. And that shows you how much God loves us, if you really stop and think about it. Why would he go through all? You know, God that's invisible couldn't do that. But he robed himself in flesh and came and did that for us. That's what you have to stop and think. He came like you came. And he said, I'm going to live the way you live, and I'm going to do this but without sin, so I could be an example for you. And the other thing is to die for you, you know, so that we wouldn't have to do it. Oh, we suffer a death, sure enough. But all of us are not being crucified on the cross, huh? But is there a cross we need to be crucified on? What is it? Isn't it the parable? He said, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. He wants you to experience that death. The death of what? Of the old self, of the old thought, the old heart. He wants that to die, the old man. He wants that to die. What he wants us to do is to be renewed in the spirit of life. Be renewed and walk the way he walked. That's life. So you got to remember that, yes, even though he came and died, he didn't stay that way. Oh, he died, but the commandment was given to him to do what? If I lay my life down, the commandment from my Father was to take it up again. That is powerful, huh? That's the part we want. That's the resurrection. That's what we're in this for. We want to be resurrected to the point where we're sitting next to the Father in the heaven just like he is. We're sitting on those thrones. We're doing the same thing. That's what our blessedness is going to be. That's what your reward is going to be. You're going to be able to do that. The same way that Jesus is doing that with the Father, you're going to do it. That's if we remain faithful. That's if we do the things God asks us to do. So the ultimate deal is the resurrection. Me and resurrected went into the newness of life. Not the life we lived here, but a new life. I think Gary preached not too long ago, probably this last week, about the new creature, being the creature. It's very powerful you to understand that we are becoming new creatures in God. And what God is doing, he's blessing us to understand how that works. Last week, we talked a little bit about inward and outward, didn't we? And I wanted to kind of revisit that again because it's very important. We see the example of what's wrong. What did the Pharisees do? They had a lot of outward appearance things, didn't they? Did they dress a certain way? Yes, they did. And some of it was kind of outlandish. Now, think about what I'm going to say. The robes that they wore, they would sweep the streets. Remember, Jesus talked about it was so long, it would sweep the streets, you know? When I see that, I say, wow, man, somebody wants to really get some attention. Your robe is so long that it's sweeping the streets. Or they wear that big meter on their head, you know, the big thing. It almost looks like a domed hat or something, because to let them know that they were a Pharisee. Sometimes they had jewels in it, things like that. You know, it was very pretty. We see people still doing that today in certain religions. They got to wear a big hat on their head to show that this is what I am. The robe was magnificent, great materials, all that stuff. You know, the shoes that they wore, all these things. The other thing they used to do to me that would seem very funny, they used to wear phylacteries. Phylacteries were those things that they would put on their middle finger and tie it down with leather. And inside of it were scriptures, usually from Isaiah, that were rolled up on the inside. And the other thing that they would do is they put a phylactery right in the middle of their forehead. They would bring the leather around, put that little container right there, and it would come right out of their forehead. And inside of that were scriptures, but they would wear it on their forehead. And as you walk, can you imagine now, there's this guy walking down the street, his robes are sweeping the dust on the street, high big hat, phylactery sticking out of the middle of his head and out of his middle finger, tied down with leather, and they said, look at me, how holy I am. Look at me, what kind of man I am. I am a Pharisee. I am the emissary of God. And people would look, and people would back up sometimes, you know. And then they stand and they make what? Long prayers. Didn't they say they were long prayers? And people would say that. So why are they doing all of this? To be what? Seen of men. Is this the outward? It's the outward. Outwardly, it said they appear beautiful, like a beautiful tomb. Inwardly, they're what? Dead men's bones. They had no soul within them. They didn't have the righteousness of Christ within them. Yet they put themselves in a place of being the highest holy thing there was, outwardly. Outwardly. So does that show you that you can have outward things working on you? People do things to be seen of men, to be seen outwardly, to show how holy they are. That's not how it works. This has to be an inward walk with God. This has to be within you. Your whole soul, your spirit, your mind, your heart has to change. What do you say about those commandments? Love the Lord thy God. The great one, isn't it? With your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. What did God say? He didn't say do it out here. He said do that inwardly. When he talks about your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, every one of those things are inward in us. That's what God wants us to do. Very powerful. So those Pharisees and those scribes used to do that. I remember Paul talked one time. He said, a Jew is not a Jew, the one that appears to be a Jew outwardly. Now, how do they appear to be a Jew outwardly? Well, there were certain things they wore, certain things they did. But really, their custom was on the eighth day after a male child was born, they would do what? Circumcise them. So they would say, well, we're circumcised, so that makes us Jews. That's what makes us Jews, right? Still today, that's what makes us Jews. We have the covenant of circumcision. Well, Paul comes along and says, you know what? You don't have to do that. He said, wait a minute. You're a Jew. You were a Pharisee of a Pharisee. Did you get circumcised? He said, yes, I did. And one time he circumcised one of his followers just to please Jews so he could get inside of a temple and preach to them. That's a pretty big deal, huh? Another time he shaved his head as a vow just so he could get in among them and talk to them about Jesus. So he knew that was their custom, so he said, I'll do that. I'll do that so I can get in and talk to him. He didn't have to do it, but he said, so I can get in and give this word of God. So he shaved his head like they shaved their head. They had taken a vow. He said, I'll do that, and I'll go right in with them and talk to them. Very wise man, Paul was. But one of the people that he circumcised was a person that had a Greek father. And he knew that the Jews that they had to talk to would not accept them if he was walking along or in company of somebody that was not circumcised. He knew that was a tough custom for them. That was a tradition. He said, but I want to talk to him. So he told the person to come to him. He said, look, I got to circumcise. That's a lot to go through so you can talk to people. Because this person was grown. But Paul did that so that they could go in together and talk to the people. Wow. That's an amazing thing. Some of the things you have to go through to put yourself in a place that the word of God can be delivered. Does that make sense? Look at the things he had to go through and all some of his journeys and stuff. Being beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and all this stuff. He said, I'm willing to do it. I want to go through all of it in order so that I could just preach Christ. That's how he said sometimes people would preach Christ out of a hatred toward him or a bondage. And he, you know what he said? I'm going to rejoice. And he said, wait, why are you rejoicing if they're preaching Christ to add things to you that bounds to you? In other words, they were preaching it wrong, but they wanted to add some type of burden to him because of that. But he rejoiced. Paul rejoiced. He said, why are you rejoicing if they're doing that? If they're preaching Christ to bring bondage to you? And he said, because Christ is being preached. He believed in the word. He said, if they're saying that word, somebody may be able to hear it and do what they need to do. So he said, they may be doing it to hurt me, but is it the word that's being preached? He said, yeah, I'll rejoice in that. Can we be that way? Could we be that way in thinking the things of good? Because Christ was that way too. Can we be that way? So, you know, so it's not one that's not a Jew that's one outwardly. They say that in this world today, weren't we seeing a war and all the stuff that are involving all of that right now? Jew and non-Jew, we're seeing that right now. And it said, we're different because we've been circumcised. We're God's people. But Paul changed that later on down the line. He said, it's not circumcision or uncircumcision that availeth anything. That's not what makes you a Jew. Now we're a Jew inwardly. That's very important. I think it's the second chapter and the 11th chapter of Romans that talks about that. It said, you want to be a Jew? Let's be one inward. Let's be of the chosen people of God. Because it's the new Israel, isn't it? There's a place he calls this. You can look it up. He says, it's not the old Israel. What I'm telling you now doesn't take a circumcision of the flesh outwardly. It means that your heart has been circumcised to receive the word of God. That's the circumcision that we do now. And that's a spiritual circumcision. The other way, the other circumcision, could women take part in it? No. Could Gentiles take part in it? The Jews wouldn't allow it. You see how that worked? But he said, but that was a covenant of belonging to God. So you know what Paul said? Let's get rid of all of that. God gave him an understanding. It's not going to be an outward circumcision. It's going to be a circumcision of the heart. When God circumcises your heart, he's taking off all the parts of the flesh that cause a stumbling block between you and him. That's what he's doing. He's cutting all of that away. So who needs to be circumcised? All of us. And what has to be circumcised? Your heart. That's what God wants. That's really how you think in your mind. That has to be circumcised to take off the flesh and put on the spirit. That's what God wants us to do. So that's why I'm talking about the outward perisheth. That perishes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, I think it is. I got to read a little bit to show you something here. First, we got 2 Corinthians 4 is where we get that great set of scripture, you know, about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal and all of that, pulling down of strongholds, whatever. And what it's saying is that God is above all of those spirits that try to bring us into subjection, right? Then he goes into this thing about, listen to this. We having the same spirit of faith, I'm reading from verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. I believe, and that's me, guys. I'm going to tell you that right now. I believe this thing. And when I believe it, I'm going to speak what God gives me. Well, that's you too. I believe, therefore I have spoken. I'm going to speak because I believe. I'm not going to hold it in. When that opportunity and that door opens, I'm going to speak. I may speak my testimony. I may speak a word of God that can help somebody. I may pray for somebody. Whatever it is, if you believe, but you will speak because you believe. That's the key. Very important thing. So because you believe, you'll speak. I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That's my thing. If he raised up Jesus, you know who's going to raise up, Laura? Me. And you have to say it for you, don't you? You have to say it for you, don't you? You have to say it for you, right? If he raised up Jesus, he's going to raise up me. That we are co-heirs in this thing. Isn't that how it works? If he raised up, are we sons and daughters of God? If he raised the Son of God, he's going to raise his other sons and daughters. He will raise them because we believe. We believe. Very important thing. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace made through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Wow. So I said that before. This is all for your sakes, for my sake, your sake. Why did God do this? Why is there a resurrection? Why is there something where he says we don't want to live by the flesh, we want to live by the Spirit? Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be led by his Spirit. Very powerful thing. It's an amazing. Now listen to this next part. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So at the outward does what? But we put so much emphasis, Ceci, on the outward, about how we look or how we walk or whatever. Maybe I have too much weight. Maybe I don't have enough. Maybe my eyes don't look right. Maybe my hair is not right, whatever. We put so much, and I'm using a very common parable by saying this. Really, it means something deeper than that. But I'm just going to use this for an example right now. So this outward is so important to us, how we appear to other people, how we appear even to ourselves. What are mirrors for? How we appear to ourselves even, how we think about ourselves. Well, do you know there's another type of mirror, right? I'm going to get into a little bit of what it really means. There's another mirror. There's another image that we need to have, right? And that image is very important. This image that we need to have. There's a scripture I'm thinking of. Maybe you can find it for me. It says that same image that we look at, we're going to become that image of Christ as by the Spirit of the Lord, I think is how it ends. And very important scripture, but that's what we really should be doing. We should be appearing like Christ appears. The glass that we see in the mirror, we shouldn't see ourselves anymore. What should we see? We should see the Christ in us. We're talking spiritual here. We're not talking about a natural mirror. We're talking about the mirror of the Lord. And as you look at that, you become what? You become his son in that. As you grow and become what God wants you to be, your image changes. Your image changes, and it's going to change it to the image of him. Anybody find that scripture by any chance? It says, as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to have to look for that. That's how it ends. But all of those things are done by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is very important to for us to understand that. So we look after things after the outward? Is that it, do you think? Go ahead and read that. Oh, wait a minute. Let's get a mic for you or whatever. Very important.
2 Corinthians 3:18.
Yes, that is it.
But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
That's it. How's it going to make you change? By the Spirit of the Lord. We're changed into the same image. Same image. There's a spiritual mirror, guys. A spiritual one. So I gave you the parable of the one we use here, the outward man, how we do here. A very poor parable, but that's what we do. But it gets it into your mind what I'm talking about, huh? That outward man is not what God is interested in. He's interested in the inward man. And he's changing that man to form the same image that he is. The same image as he, and he's doing it by the Spirit. That's how it's done. It's being done by the Spirit. So we want that image, don't we? We want to look like that, don't we? Spiritually. So you take that other parable I use about how we're so interested in how we look outwardly. But there's something where we tell people this all the time. Have you ever gotten out of a shower, dried off, whatever, and you haven't put any lotion or anything on yet, but you look at your arm and you rub your arm. What do you see come off of it? Has anyone ever done that? You see a little dust come up because your skin's so dry. Do you know that those are cells and they've died? You're scrubbing off what used to be living things, the cells that made up your body, and they become very dry and you rub it and they just fall off, you know. Has that ever happened to anybody? I see, you know, I rub my arm and you can see, wow, those used to be living cells. The outward man perisheth day by day. He does. That's a good example right there. We look a certain way. Man, I looked at a picture of myself not too long ago. I said, wow. I said, I do not look like that man anymore. Absolutely not. There's wrinkles. There's weight. There's things that have happened. I have to wear glasses to see, hearing aids to hear. You know, I got to get things done to my teeth so I can chew. You know, all kinds of stuff. We've changed so much. No hair at all. It's gone. You know, so all of that has changed. And I looked at that and I said, wow, that used to be me. Well, it's still me. It's just a change now, isn't it? But it brought something very close to me. Our outward man perisheth day by day. There's things that's going to cause us to finally get to that place where this life ceases. We had Sister Gail, right? Where this life ceases and you're no more here. But does that stop you from being what God wants you to be? Not at all. Where does your spirit go? Does it go back to God who gave it? Oh, very important for you to understand that. He said, all souls are mine, right? So where do we end up? We end up in the hands of God, and what God wants to do by his will is what's going to happen. So we start another life, don't we? These things we see people say, RIP, rest in peace, and that's the end of their life. They have a rude awakening coming. When you die, you wake up on the other side, and you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And we have to talk about eternities here, too. Do you realize there's differences in eternities? What may be an eternity for one person may be a little bit different for another, but it's still an eternity. You understand what I'm saying? We'll get into that someday. But the thing that's important is that this, we got to spend that somewhere. Our soul is still apparent. That doesn't die. That's the spiritual part of you that does not die. That's amazing, huh? So what must happen to it? Do you think maybe you can still learn? Oh, for sure. You think maybe you can accomplish some things? Can it still think? Of course. How do we know that? The parable of the rich man in hell, remember? Could he talk? Could he think? Could he do all those things, huh? He even knew what thirst was. Hey, have Lazarus put his finger in a drop of water and bring it and let him touch my tongue. He knew what it was like to be parched. He knew what it was like to feel the heat of hell. He said, I'm tormented in this place. He knew torment. Wow. He knew all those things, huh? Well, what makes you think that's not how it is when we leave here? You're going to feel things, know things, see things. And you would rather do it from God's side and not from an evil side. Isn't that true? Isn't that what this is all about? Living for God? Living for God. This is what this is all about. So the outward man perisheth. I want to keep that in your mind. Let's not care so much about what we look like to others outwardly. And I'm not talking about this facade. What does Gary call it? The avatar. I'm not talking about this avatar. I'm talking about how you think about it, how I appear to other men or other women. See? How do you think about that? What are your thoughts about you as being you? Or are we going to humble ourselves and be a servant of God and not worry about that? Not worry about what the world thinks, the world in here and the world out there. Not worried about it. What we're going to do is follow the Lord. The outward man perisheth, but the man that hangs on to Jesus, he lives forever. Didn't Jesus say that some of you standing here will not see death? They didn't understand what he meant, did they? He said, you won't see it. He said, wow, what is he talking about? Are they going to live forever or whatever? In a way. They may experience a natural death and not have their body anymore, but what is he telling them? He said, you're just not going to see that. You're not going to see it as man thinks about it. That's not how it's going to be. We have so many things that have to be corrected through the flesh. You know, our flesh thinks so many things. Our carnal mind thinks a certain way. All that has to be corrected, guys. It has to be reconciled back to God. It has to be overcome. Our thinking is what puts us in hell. How we react on our thought. Our outward man is always perishing because we're so concerned about how it is outwardly in our thought. I keep thinking about, somebody mentioned this not too long ago. You know, when Samuel went to anoint the king over Israel, and he went to Jesse's house, and he had all these sons, remember? Jesse had all those sons, and they were big strapping guys, muscular, good-looking, tall, all this stuff. And Samuel stood in front of the first one. He said, my goodness, he said, this has got to be the one God's going to make the king over Israel. God said, nope, not him. So he said, okay, let's go to the next one. He stepped over to the next one. He said, ooh, this one's another one. Handsome young man, big. He said, maybe this has got to be it if it's not that other one. He said, nope. And he went through all of Jesse's sons all the way down the line. And God kept saying, no, 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 no. Samuel said, I'm confused here, Lord. What's going on here? And then he asked, Jesse, you have another son? He said, yeah, I do. Where's he at? He's out watching the sheep. Well, okay. And he said, call for him. And they went and got him, and David starts coming back. I think it's kind of neat. He's a ruddy youth. He's the runt out of the litter. He is not the big strapping guy with the muscles and all that stuff and tall. He's short, ruddy, and it makes a point of saying he's a ruddy youth. I said, what? And he comes walking in. God said, that's him right there. And Samuel said, what? What? That's him? That's him. I said, wow. And he anointed him to be the king over Israel. He said, he's a man after my own heart. He has to tell Samuel. He says, Samuel, I don't look on the outward appearance. See, this is our key. The outward perisheth. What you look on outwardly is not what God wants. How you have an expectation of how your life should be is not what God wants. We say, I expect my life to be this, 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 and this. I should be able to go through things and never have a problem and never have this happen, never have that, never be sick, never be, no, no, no. That's not how it works. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. God knew our walk was going to be things that would interfere with it from time to time. Our expectations would fall. We get depressed and despondent. We get angry and hated. You guess what? All this pride comes in. All of these things. And the flesh takes over, doesn't it? It takes your thought and runs rampant with it. well, this happened to me. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to work now. Then the fear comes in and all. You see all those things? That's not what how God wants us to walk. That's the outward man. That's the fleshly man. God said, I want you to have peace. In me, there is peace. He said, he'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. That's what he says. I'll keep you in perfect peace. Doesn't mean things won't happen. Is that you'll have peace when they happen. Isn't that cool? You're not going to go running and lose your mind or anything. You're not going to be like an outward man. You're going to take it inward and say, God, I know you're going to walk through it with me, and let's go through this thing. And God will bless you, huh? Isn't that powerful? It's an amazing thing once you get to know Jesus and allow him by your will, his spirit working with your spirit, and you yield your will to his and walk with him. That's a powerful thing. So it doesn't mean things won't happen. It just means that you have peace with him when they do. You have confidence in God. You don't put confidence in the flesh which perisheth, the outward man that perishes, the man that doesn't know God. The man that knows God is an inward man. The outward man doesn't know him. He has too many things in the way. But the inward man, he knows God because he's given himself over to him. Does that make sense? So very powerful about that. Let me read something else to you here. This is powerful. Though, and I read this first part. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So all the stuff we go through, what did Paul just call it? Light affliction. Wait. Some people sitting here saying, Pastor Kenny, I'm going through hell. I'm going through hell in relationships. I'm going through hell in my mind. I'm tormented. And he said, but that's your light affliction. Light. We think it's so heavy, don't we? We think it's so heavy. But he says it's your light affliction. You know why? Because it doesn't come up close to what Jesus had to go through. Not at all. You think about it. He carried the sins of the world upon him. Our light affliction. It is light compared to what he went through for us. That's a powerful thing. I think about it all the time. We complain when I got a sliver in my finger and we think that we're about ready to die. You understand what I'm saying? It's a light affliction. The things we go through here, we say, oh, I lost a loved one. True. But is that the way of life of all people? Aren't you going to be there someday? It's light affliction. Wow. But it says it works a more exceeding greater weight of glory. Wait. So what does God say? You come and follow me and stay away from that outward man and do be the inward man. You will partake of my glory. You will. I'll make sure that you do. That the affliction that you go through, that's light compared to the glory I'm going to give you. That's what he's telling you. He said, that's nothing compared to the glory I'm going to give you if you remain faithful. You see how that works? That's a marvelous thing to me. And then here's the part I really like. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So we need to start looking inwardly at those things that are not seen. They're not seen here. You're not going to see them in this world. You're not going to see them as you walk by a building or into a edifice or whatever. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see it on your job. You're not going to see it among other people. You're going to see this inwardly. That's how this is going to work. The temporal things, they'll all decay. I was watching something. I couldn't believe it. There's this place in Texas where this guy was walking down a street. There were mansions on either side. Mansions. I think the smallest house there was something like 7,000 square feet. The smallest one. They had some 15,000, stuff like that. They were all abandoned. There was nobody living in them. It was a project that had been started like 10 to 12 years ago. Those houses are sitting there, and you can see where people have gone inside and broken up the toilets and scratched and teared up the wall and pulled the carpet up and did all this stuff. But they said, what happened? Say, this guy developed this thing and whatever, and then he went bankrupt. He was starting this thing. He was going to sell all of these things in there, went bankrupt. The people didn't want to buy into it because where it was at was not a good place and whatever, so other people didn't come and take it over. So they said, well, let's just let it sit the way it is. The land is worth more now. They let it sit. All those mansions, it's probably about 10 of them, huge swimming pools. Chandeliers hanging in the rooms. You should see some of the wood that they put in them, you know, for the beams and all that stuff, and wooden floors and all that stuff. Some of them had teak, polished teak wood for floors. I said, oh my God, looking at that. And then I thought, scripture says men are going to build houses and not live in them. Go look it up. It's there. He said, they're going to build them and not live in them. We put so much into that. Ooh, I got to get a home. I got to get a home, right? Don't we say that? That's the American dream, huh? Well, what if you don't get one? We're blessed if we do have one, right? But there are people that may never get a chance to do that. The way things are looking right now, they're going to build a lot of houses and people are not going to live on them. The way things are going. You see how that works? And are they still, man, they're worth all that money when they put them up. But if they get abandoned, they're not worth a plug nickel. Those mansions are sitting there empty and decaying. They're decaying. It's been 10 or 12 years now. They're decaying. Things are falling apart on them. The tiles are coming off. Okay, because there's never any maintenance. I said, wow. The stuff that, like the gold faucets and stuff, that's been stolen a long time ago. That's like those Egyptian pharaohs. They put all that gold and stuff inside that tomb with them. And you know what? After they finish that and the workers blow off, the robbers say, break into those tombs. Those pharaohs thought they were going to have that stuff forever, right? Not too long after it, what do? Went in there and stole all that gold and stuff. But there were some they didn't find, and we found them in this century, huh? You know, King Tut's tomb and all the gold that they found there and all that stuff. It shows you how rich they really were. But most of those tombs were ransacked. They found them and took all the valuables out of them. And they thought they were going to last forever. Right? You see how this is? Monuments to men, right? Outward perisheth. You look at a pyramid now. Isn't it crumbling and falling apart? It must have been something magnificent when they first built it. But look at them now. All it takes is time and that change. Do you realize we're the same way? All it takes is time. The outward man perisheth. The avatar perisheth. But the inward man, it says, is renewed day by day. So we get newer on the inside every day, huh? Isn't that cool? We get new. We get renewed. We're a new creature every day. God's renewing us on the inside. And people say, well, you get older out here. That's true. You get younger there because you're new. You're a new creature. And actually, age doesn't matter to you, does it? That's powerful. Because that's what God has in store for us. So all of the stuff we think about outwardly, the stuff we worry about on our jobs, the stuff we worry about in our homes, the stuff we worry about as we gather with other people, the stuff that we worry about that we think that's so important, I want you to start putting in your mind, the outward perisheth. Those things don't have a heaven for you. They don't have a celestial to help you. They don't have the Spirit of God. They're outward. God is inward. And he renews the inward man day by day. That's what he's doing for us. Every time we learn a word of God, every time we hear the preaching of God, every time we hear and get washed by the washing of water by the word, what is God doing? He's renewing us every day. Every day he's doing something for us, and we're being renewed inwardly. So I look at myself, the outward, I say, oh, man, poor thing. But inward, I feel a joy. I feel a peace in here. I feel it's going on. It's good. And even the passing one day when you leave here, that's just going to be passing from one journey to another. That's it. From one place to another. That's all it's going to be. If you look at it that way, you won't have fear of it. We don't fear that because we know we've set up our kingdom with God. Remember I preached to you about the kingdom? God has a kingdom in store for us. We're inheriting it now. We can walk in it now, our kingdom. But then you just actually get to be in it at that time because he says you're kings and priests. Didn't he say that? First chapter of Revelation. So if you're a king, do you have a kingdom? Did God give it to you? We enter into that. That's powerful, huh? And you don't have to worry about it degrading and falling apart or any of those things. You don't have to worry about you falling apart. God says the outward perisheth. He's given us the clue. Don't worry about that. Let's get this thing inwardly and let's walk with God the way we're supposed to walk. The inward walk is going to get you to heaven. Whew. The outward walk will get you to hell. Because outward doesn't do anything for you. No spirit in it. But the inward walk gets you to be with Jesus in heaven. You get to walk with him now. You get to have his spirit in you now. Isn't that true? You can be a son and a daughter now, can't you? You don't have to wait for anything. You can be resurrected now. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Can he resurrect a new life in you now? That's what the inward man is all about. Wow. I want, see, you have that mic back there. I want you to read a scripture for me. Ephesians 4, 21 and 22, maybe even 23. And we'll end with that. We don't look on this outward appearance, guys. You, let your mind change. Go ahead. 21, 22, maybe even 23.
If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man.
Wow.
Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness.
That is it. Is that the new man? Created in righteousness and holiness? Put off that old thing. That's this. Put him off. He's concerned about the outward all the time. He's concerned about his lust, deceitful lust, how corrupt he is. That's all he's concerned about. He's concerned about his own pride, about his own lust, about what he wants to do. You see how that works? We're not like that. God has given us a new heart. What did David say? Renew in me a clean heart and a right spirit. Psalms 51, I think it is. Isn't that what he said he wants us to do? Here's that term again. Renewed. We're new again, huh? Wow. Not outward. Inward. Renewed day by day. Anybody got any questions for me about anything I said today? Or a comment or anything? If you had a quickening or...
You mentioned when people die, they do rest in peace. We should be resting in peace in God now.
Now.
His word. Because he is the one that creates the heavens and the earth. And what religion has done to preach that truth has been backwards. It's been hourly, not inwardly. So I thought it was very important that we should be resting in peace in God.
That's true. So all the things that we go through here, all the conflict, all the stuff that we go through here, the tribulation, whatever, should that set us back from our walk in God? Or is that part of life? Isn't it part of it? So Jesus even told us to expect it. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. What was he telling you? Expect trouble. But he said, but I'll be there with you. Be of good cheer. We can make it together through this trouble. There is nothing that God cannot overcome. Sometimes it seems that way because we're bound in it. you know, we're having problems, we're having conflict, even in our own mind or in relationship or whatever it may be. But God said, I am over that. I am over that. I can bring peace to that. I can heal that because he's able to do it. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Isn't that true? Anybody else have something? So isn't it good for you to hear that now, that all the stuff we go through, God considers that light compared to, you know, it could be much worse. Have you ever been in a situation and you complain to somebody and they said, oh, man, this was so bad, whatever, da-da-da-da-da-da. Then they look at you and you say, well, what is that old expression? I ran into a man that had no shoes, and then I ran into a man that had no feet. You get it? I'm not saying it right, but that's how you think about that. We were so upset because we didn't have shoes. Then you look at the guy and say, oh, man, double amputee, doesn't have any feet. Mine doesn't seem so big now. Isn't that true? That's how we need to look at light affliction. It's light. And I've been through some stuff, but not as much as some other people have been. You understand what I'm saying? All of us have been through something, but we think it's so, ours is worse than everybody else's. Really? No. No. So it's a powerful thing. Anybody else have something? All the stuff we're going through is light compared to Jesus. That's something to think about, huh?